Right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the December 17th, 2025 Economic Development Committee. Just a couple housekeeping items before we get started. For committee members, if you can please leave your camera on for the duration of the meeting and use the raise hand feature or simply wave if you'd like to be recognized to ask a question. For members, city staff, if you can please keep your video off for the duration of the meeting unless you are speaking. And likewise, please use the raise hand feature to be recognized. For members of the public that are joining us this evening, welcome. If you would like to speak at some point during this meeting, you'll need to complete a registration. Otherwise, for the duration of the meeting, please keep your cameras off. And with that, I will take the roll. Jeff Ligon appears to be absent. Alder Pritchett appears to be absent. Alder Duncan?
Here.
Alder Duncan is here. Kaba Ba.
Present.
Kaba is here. Melissa Gumbar appears to be absent. Alder Madison.
Here.
Alder Madison is here. Seth Lenz.
Here.
Seth Lenz is here. Susan Balgren.
Here.
Susan's here. And Chair Harris.
Here.
All right, Chair. It looks like we have a quorum. The floor is yours.
All right, thank you. I understand we don't have any public joining us, so we'll skip over to disclosures and recusals. The members of the body of the committee should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics codes. Do we have any disclosures or recusals? Okay. Hearing none, I'm going to go back to the approval of the minutes of our last meeting. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve. Oh.
I'll second.
Okay. So, motion made by Alder Duncan and seconded by Susan Balgren. Any discussion? All right. Seeing no hands, all those in favor, please raise your hand or say aye. Aye. Okay. Motion passes. We'll get right into new business. First off, the Planning Division staff update of the Southwest Area Plan. And I see Ben Zeller is here. He's going to be presenting that, I believe. I don't see Linda Horvath on here.
It'll just be me this evening for the Southwest Area Plan, and then Chris Wells will take over for item three.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ben. Why don't you introduce yourself and go to it?
Sure, I'll go ahead and share my screen here. Can you all see the PowerPoint slide, or is it doing the presenter view?
It's the presenter view
Okay,
at the
let me see
moment.
if I can switch this. Is that better?
Nope, you're still in
Okay.
presenter mode.
I don't know what the deal
Oh,
is there.
now you're good. I don't know what you just did, but you're good now.
Oh,
Oh.
I just exited because it wasn't working. But all right, let me try that again.
Yeah,
Apologies.
now you're back to the.
I'll give it a second or two here to see if it switches.
You're good now.
Okay. All
So
right. We'll stick with
whatever
that.
that is, it worked.
We'll stick with that. Good evening, everybody. My name is Ben Zellers. I'm the co-project manager along with Irvashi Martin of the Southwest Area Plan. Thank you for having us here on your agenda for EDC here tonight. We're just really here to give a in progress update of the Southwest Area Plan, specifically as it relates to things that are covered and addressed by EDC. So just start off with a quick background, also a quick public engagement summary, talk about some draft action highlights, specifically as it relates to land use as it ties into economic development, and then the economy and opportunity chapter, and kind of the actions that go with that chapter, and then wrap up with a timeline for the remainder of the area plan process. So I know most of you are probably already familiar with this, but just thought I'd start out with what planning is and why it matters. Overall, it's a process of working together to create recommendations to guide the future of the city and its neighborhoods. In these area plans, we set parameters for future development and have recommendations for things like parks, streets, and infrastructure. And we try to consider many factors, including the projected growth of the city, housing, transportation, economy, environment, cultural resources, among other things. But overall, planning is an important tool to prepare for growth and navigate change. So as far as area plans, we're on number 3 and 4 in kind of our sequence. We had started off with the west and northeast areas, and now we're on southwest and southeast. The comprehensive plan has larger goals for the whole city, but these area plans provide more detailed recommendations specific to these 12 geographies, and we have full city coverage for these 12 areas. Undertaking these area plans also allows us to have more frequent plan updates, as opposed to the previous approach that we had in the planning division of doing neighborhood plans or neighborhood development plans. We anticipate updating these 12 area plans approximately every 10 years or so. And then we also look to pursue consistent plan topics based on the comprehensive plan chapters with those area specific recommendations. In these area plans, we work with other departments and divisions, including Economic Development Division, Engineering, Transportation Department, Parks, and many others. And we really try to reach out to and have emphasis on feedback that we're gathering from underrepresented groups that might not engage in kind of the typical or standard planning process. I just wanted to circle the southwest area, kind of on the bottom left part of the map. And then Chris will be talking about the southeast area after southwest discussion. So zooming in a little bit, southwest area boundary, Beltline Highway on the north, City of Fitchburg on the east, Highway 18, 151, Cross Country Road on the south, and High Point Road on the east. Overall, this area has about 37,000 residents, which is approximately the size of the city of Sun Prairie. So we're talking about a pretty sizable area with a relatively high population as well. So won't go through all of these, but just wanted to provide a real quick snapshot of some of the feedback that we received in phase one of this planning process, which was kind of outreach leading up to the summer. Really a lot of the feedback that we received, I would say probably actually the vast majority of the feedback we received was with regard to transportation related issues. So that can include things like speeding, missing sidewalks in the sidewalk network, walkability, safe crosswalks, street lighting, all those kinds of things. We did work with economic development staff. They had led a business walk for both the southwest and the southeast areas. And so planning staff participated in that business walk. And it was an excellent, really one day intensive, very intensive event to undertake that walk. We had two large teams that participated in the west or southwest and southeast. In the southwest area, we visited 135 businesses. Really, there were kind of a series of teams that did those visits. We asked 6 questions. Among those questions are the two that I show the results for on the right. So those include the question of how's business. And so for the Southwest, only 10% said slow or poor, which is pretty positive results. Another question we asked was whether employees have difficulty getting to work, and about 20%, 1 in 5 of employers said that there were difficulty for employers to get to work. Overall, this report of the business walk is available on the Southwest Area Plan Project website if you want to review kind of the more full results. So as far as feedback, we get a variety of feedback from the public as part of these planning processes. We have some feedback that we get that falls under existing city policy or programs, and we look to those policies and programs to be able to address that feedback. So that can be things like some feedback on transportation that might tie into or relate to the city's Complete Green Streets policy. We also get some feedback that is outside the plan scope, And oftentimes that tends to be more detailed items. So something like a crosswalk at this intersection needs to be restriped or something like that. We look to pass that along to the relevant agencies to be able to address that. Then also, obviously, we get a lot of feedback that gets integrated into draft actions in the plan. So I wanted to touch on some land use related highlights, as these can tend to interact with and overlap with economic development concerns in some respects. So we heard a fair amount of support for more mixed use areas and destinations within walking distance of residents for the Southwest area. Also, a desire for more housing options. And so on the land use, future land use map on the right, the changes to the land uses are outlined in bold black, and we look to address some of those comments in the changes, with mixed use areas being various shades of purple and residential being kind of the yellow through brownish color. Another point of feedback that we heard is kind of a desire by many residents to maintain employment and job related opportunities within the Southwest area. Within this area, there are far more employees than jobs. And so it's kind of a net exporter of employees to other locations within the city of Madison, within the region. Certainly, there are some large employers like Exact Sciences, but overall, on balance, there are a lot of people living here who leave the area to work. One other thing, and this is not a bullet point in the presentation because we had checked in with the Plan Commission earlier this week on kind of the same types of issues, or some of the same types of issues we're bringing to you here this evening. But one of the comments that we got from them is whether or not we should look at, you know, the area at the Verona Road interchange, specifically the small industrial area between Hammersley and Raymond Road, and whether or not that should be or could be transitioned from kind of a commercial industrial to housing or mixed use. So, looking for your feedback and also any thoughts of staff on that here this evening, if you have any thoughts on that, as we get into discussion towards the end of the presentation. But just wanted to stress a few more things on this map. So we have some additional allowable development along major corridors. We have some new mixed use nodes for neighborhoods and have boosted allowable mixed use intensity in some previously mapped areas. And just want to kind of star those boosted areas or new mixed use areas to highlight those. And then, as I mentioned, kind of supporting some additional housing along major corridors as well in the future if land uses should change or we should see redevelopment. Oh, sorry, kind of skipped over. And we've also done a few kind of detailed concepts in some of these mixed-use node areas just to illustrate what could happen in the future should property owners decide to redevelop. So just wanted to quickly glance at some of those. Area one at the plan realignment of Raymond Road and High Point Road, just northeast of the Viridian Midpoint Meadows subdivision that got underway, I think, earlier this year, showing some new mixed-use buildings in purple and some possible multifamily residential development in that brown color. Another concept at Raymond Road and Whitney Way and the Meadowood Shopping Center. Again, should that landowner ever choose to redevelop, showing some possible more intensive mixed-use development, while at the same time expressing the city's desire to maintain commercial development and that commercial core designation along Raymond Road. Some more mixed-use possibilities at the Maple Grove McKee intersection, again with some of those commercial core designations. And then illustrating at the Whitney Way Beltline interchange, the existing actually official mapping of a Schrader Road realignment if Vitense should ever choose to sell their property to someone interested in redeveloping, along with some possible mixed-use and residential development to the south and east of that. So with that, kind of transitioning from land use over to economy and opportunity related actions that are in the draft plan. So within that chapter, we have some actions to potentially create new tax increment districts to support development of business and employment mixed use redevelopment. We don't really draw any draft boundaries related to that, but there are, you know, fairly limited number of business and employment areas, maybe a few more mixed use potential areas in the future, but wanted to lay out the possibility for potentially supporting those areas in the future with tax increment district creation. Then also preserving the Southwest area's ability to grow in employment and businesses by maintaining general commercial employment uses on that future land use map for business and employment uses, which seems pretty straightforward as I read it, certainly. But we've been seeing some mixed use or largely residential development being allowed in these employment and commercial areas, and looking to more stringently adhere to commercial employment recommendations in those areas. And also evaluating prospects for land banking for portions of these areas if business vacancies in some of these areas continue or increase. Exploring options for adding public Wi-Fi and some city of parks located in community action strategy areas. Generally, these CAS areas are lower than average income when you're looking at citywide income levels. And then we also have some economic development partnerships in the plan. I won't get into those in high level of detail here, but those are largely things that might have some city involvement, but aren't led by the city. Happy to dive into those if desired, though. So just before discussion, wrapping up with the timeline, we're kind of end of phase two and into phase three. We've gotten some public feedback on draft plan actions and maps. We're checking in with city boards, commissions, and committees. Actually, you all are our last check-in in this series. And with the public feedback and feedback that we get from committees and commissions, we'll compile a full final draft of the plan. Then that'll get introduced at council, referred back to committees and commissions for the approval process. And then ultimately the council is the final decision maker on plan adoption. So with that, just interested in your general feedback on these two questions, as well as kind of that third question that I raised as far as business and employment areas in general, and also specific kind of that Verona Road area that the Plan Commission discussed earlier in the week. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the chair for any discussion and questions.
Okay, Susan, you had your hand up.
Excuse me, I did. A couple comments regarding the plan. One is when the feedback came regarding schools, I was interested in it. Were people wanting their own school in this area? Because I know there are two elementary schools and a private school here. So that would be my first question, is what did they mean that they didn't have schools nearby? Secondly, busing is a big issue. I actually have individuals who come from this area to work at my Culver's on the West Beltline Highway. And the issue is the bus routes don't accommodate schedules. And I just wonder if we're looking at some of the changes in the busing, whether that might be accommodated as we look at this. And then, you know, essentially we need to change the bus routes or actually have them run more often. And then finally, you know, commercial opportunities are there. I just think that we need to do things to actually encourage businesses to get to that area, to actually develop, because there are some potential sites that I think would be very good for the community. So those are my plans.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as far as schools, I think really the predominantly the comments related to that were people wondering about or being curious about two things. One is MMSD is kind of starting a attendance area study. And so I think there's some community interest in that. We don't really have any control over attendance areas as the city, but still we get comments, concerns, and questions about that from folks as we get public feedback. And then also a heavy level of interest in MMSD and the referendum-driven reconstruction of schools. Specifically in this planning area, Tokyo and Orchard Ridge, Those are two of the schools that are being planned for reconstruction, and so there's a lot of community interest in what those will look like and what the process will be for that. Again, limited amount of city ability to influence that, although those projects will come through the city development review process. I think those are really two of the big items that we tend to hear about a bit related to schools. As far as busing, we do have some discussion of that in the transportation chapter, which I maybe should have highlighted a few of those items in this presentation as well. But we've certainly heard some of the same things that you were mentioning. Really, a few different aspects of that, overcrowding on some buses, leading to, difficulty being able to use them to get where people want to go. We also heard a lot about desires for more amenities at bus stops, specifically shelters at bus stops to make it easier, more convenient, and more pleasant to use the bus system. And then I think kind of that 20% that we heard from in that business walk of businesses being concerned about their employees' ability to get to work are probably primarily related to what you're talking about with just bus routing and the current routes not meeting all the needs of people. I will say that all of those are pretty, except for maybe outside of the shelters issue, are pretty challenging to address given, the current budget conditions, because all of them take a fair amount of money, additional funding to Metro to be able to address. But those are certainly things that we've heard about and have included some things in the plan actions to at least highlight those issues.
Then just one last comment. Having Wi-Fi in the area, this area, I think is an excellent idea, whether it's in the park or wherever you may put that. I do know that the individuals who come and work with me from this area are actually come and do homework because they said they don't have access to Wi-Fi at home. So that is a great idea, and I'm hoping that that does happen. So thank you.
Thank you.
Ben, what about now? Will High Point Estates and Elver Apartments still stay in the Middleton School District?
Yeah, we don't. I think we have even less influence over school district boundaries than we do on MMSD attendance areas and things of that nature. There has been, I think, some boundary negotiations related to new subdivisions that are happening in and around the Southwest area, in Midpoint Meadows and Hill Valley, just to the west of this planning area. I don't think there's been any MMSD Middleton Cross Plains discussions about shifting existing developed areas between school districts. I think districts tend to be fairly protective of their existing boundaries when there are residents or commercial development already in place there.
And then I take it, I'm assuming that as you're looking at this, you're also planning on, water runoff and making sure that we don't have flood zones.
Yes. So, yeah, that's definitely part of our discussions. We, in addition to some of the agencies I mentioned that we talk with, engineering, stormwater as part of that. And there is a large new regional stormwater pond planned just south of Elver Park to help handle runoff from new development and new neighborhoods. And then also the engineering division has watershed studies that cover the entire Southwest area that help them plan for and budget for new stormwater management investments.
I don't see any other hands. Matt, do you have anything that you wanted to add?
Ben, are you still looking for more info on the Verona Road Beltline interchange employment question?
Yeah, if the committee has any thoughts on that, certainly would hope to hear those. If not, though, that's fine too.
you want to maybe go back to the generalized future land use slide and just share a little more background about that conversation? Because it might have passed people by pretty quickly in the presentation.
Sure. Yeah. So, generally talking about kind of the Beltline Verona Road interchange, maybe more specifically. Certainly interested in hearing any thoughts on other employment commercial areas as well, though. But as all of obviously big housing challenges within the city and meeting the growth demands of all the people moving to Madison. And so I think that's top of mind for pretty much everyone, but especially the Plan Commission. And so there was some discussion at the Plan Commission about whether or not any of those areas that are shown for industrial and possibly general commercial at that interchange would be more appropriate as mixed use or housing. So that's kind of some of the background. Also gave you some of the feedback that we've gotten from the public with regard to some employment thoughts and concerns. So yeah, just interested in any feedback that all of you might have on kind of employment housing balance.
Well, it is a terrible exit to get off at, or when you're going westbound, it backs up to pass Todd Drive at times. Is there anything being looked at to, I mean, I don't know what more you can do. You guys have added extra lanes, and it's still kind of a mess.
Wisconsin DOT really governs the management and construction of the Beltline, and so they have recently released what they call a PEL, Planning and Environmental Linkages study, for the whole Beltline, all the way from the interstate over to Middleton. And so they're in that study, they're looking at possible changes to the Beltline and its interchanges. Think all told, that study probably adds up to about 1,000 pages or something. So I won't delve into detail, but one of the DOT's concerns is the Verona Road interchange, among other interchanges as well.
Okay. I don't see any other hands or questions. So you've obviously done,
Wait,
Susan, did
it
you have
looks like Susan has a question.
Susan, did you have another question?
Just related to that comment, Wayne. Signage is the issue at that exit, the Verona Road exit off of the Beltline. People don't understand that there are multiple lanes that you can take getting off the Beltline to go onto Verona Road. So I would highly recommend that someone discuss that with the DOT, that it's the signage issue. That's my comment.
Okay.
All right. Ben, you've done such a great job. You've limited the questions.
Chair, it looks like Mike Miller has his hand
Oh,
up.
okay. Mike, what? Okay.
Yeah, hey Ben. Hey, that question about, the Verona Road exchange over here. I say over here because I live over here. So is the question around, are you looking to increase density? Or, I mean, what I wasn't real sure exactly of what the question you asked.
Yeah, it was more along the lines of kind of the land uses in that area, as opposed to density. Like I said, the Plan Commission was kind of talking about whether or not some of that land use in that area should be transitioned from industrial and commercial over to mixed use and or residential. And so that was kind of the general question for the committee and potentially for staff as well. Any thoughts on the land use balance in that area, and if it should remain the same or if adjustments should be made?
So exactly where, Ben, are you talking where the pad where the door and hardware is, or are you talking the pad over by McDonald's?
So I'm generally speaking about this area over here. If you can see that line that I'm drawing, that hopefully will appear for you all on the slide. Does that show up at all? Green outline?
No.
Huh. Okay. Maybe there's a delay. Maybe it's not working. I'm not sure.
It shows up. Can you make it a little thicker though, maybe?
Sure. Let me try to change this around.
Could you zoom it in a little bit too? I mean, it's pretty.
Yeah, I guess let me just clear this. I'll maybe exit the presentation and then just be able to zoom in on the area in question. So talking about, whoop, now I'm screwing things up in a different way. Talking about this area, Beltline Verona Road, up here, in the light yellow color is kind of the lowest intensity residential. The gray color is industrial land right now that's, I think, largely sub-zero. And then the bright red is general commercial, which are, tend to be restaurants, retailers, sometimes employment and services as well.
So, Ben, is it correct to paraphrase that the question that the team is grappling with is, should that area remain effectively red and gray, which is commercial and industrial, or should that area become some shade of darker yellow to brown, which would be residential?
Yes, that's generally the question. And I think some of the benefits of the Beltline can really accrue to businesses, in terms of potentially visibility. At the same time, sometimes there are some drawbacks, to highway proximity for residential development, noise and air pollution. If we do make any changes to this area, we'll have to take that into account, certainly. But yeah, just interested in the committee's thoughts on land use balance in that area.
Yeah, Ben, I think now that I understand it, I think, whatever, if there is a conversation about increasing the density, I think also a part of that conversation should be that, as it was pointed out earlier, is the transportation in that area, because it's extremely interesting over there, especially with, the folks coming, going and coming from the southwest part of the state, the Dodgevilles and all of that coming in. It can get pretty congested up there. So I think if they are looking at changing some of that zoning into more of a residential and maybe increasing some density over in that area, traffic would be a big issue and would have to be strongly looked at, I think.
Certainly.
Susan?
As a business owner that just has a restaurant down the Beltline, I would say please do not change this from commercial to residential. There are people who actually come in from the Southwest just to shop at that Home Depot. And I know that that if we're talking about more business in these areas, this is an area that has business and it should continue to have business. Those are my comments.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, I don't see any other questions. So, Ben, thank you. Did you have any other questions for the committee?
No, I think that pretty much takes care of it. So, thank you all for your time, and I'll turn it over to Chris for an overview of Southeast.
Great. Thank you, Ben.
Good evening.
Hi,
Good
Chris.
evening. I will try to share my screen.
Okay. While you're doing that, why don't you tell the folks, who you are, where you work in the city?
Sure. My name is Chris Wells. I work in the planning division with Ben, although I do development review, so kind of current planning, and I staff the Plan Commission. So it's interesting to be at another commission or committee. So Ben did a great job of setting the table and explaining the background. There's a significant amount of overlap in terms of the process, levels of engagement between the two plans. So this is the outline, obviously on the east side of Madison, but it's State Highway 30 to on the north, the interstate on the east side, generally Siegel Cow Road on the south, and the city of Monona and Lake Monona on the on the west boundary. So the significant road is US Highway 51. Stoughton Road is the kind of the elephant in the room, and is something that we have in all of the engagement, which I'll move on to the next slide. All these meetings, at least 75% of people comment about how dangerous the intersections of Flom and Cottage Grove are. And like with the Verona Road intersection and discussion that you just had with Ben, this obviously the state highway, the DOT controls the design of Stoughton Road, and I'll get into that more in a second. But very similar outreach in terms of the community, trying to engage with kind of under engaged groups in various regards. Also, there was the same day that the business walk on the west side was held, it was also we divided, and so we went to both areas. And there are some stats on this page, but you know, I was looking at the report for both planning areas, and it was a similar level of, you know, about 92% of people or of respondents of the businesses noted that the business was good or great or steady or fair. Many cited the location as the and the opportunities for expansion as the primary thing that they liked about the area. Top three things that could be done to improve better infrastructure and transportation. Metro transit service comes up. I will talk more about that in a minute, but that was certainly a pretty consistent feedback. Government regulations, I think that has to do with the kind of communication in terms of business programs, kind of like incentives. People were like, when we asked if they had engaged with the city, many were not kind of informed at different, you know, like facade grants or different, you know, kind of economic development programs. 22% of the respondents noted that their employees have some difficulty in getting to work. Interestingly, I mapped the responses that we got, and it was very non-conclusive. It was spread really kind of randomly over the planning area. I would have thought that it would have been kind of more kind of like in the middle of Flom Road and in between that and Dutch Mill in the south, that are the farthest away from metro stops, but it did not seem to be the case. And you know, certainly there's the issue of like first, second, and third shift. And that's a larger you know, issue that I know has been brought up to Metro, and is something that I think Matt Nikolajewski had mentioned at the presentation for the plan that's next. But looking into possibilities there. Move on to the next. So this is a kind of the existing on the left and the proposed on the right. I won't go into the kind of as fine a grain of detail as Ben did, but generally looking to increase the density along the commercial corridors, mainly Milwaukee Street, Cottage Grove Road, Atwood Avenue. Like generally, what is recommended for neighborhood mixed use, which is 2 to 4 stories, up to 70 units per acre, shifting that to community mixed use, which is 2 to 6 stories, up to 130 dwelling units per acre. Interestingly, the industrial area in the southeast quadrant, generally the same, but looking at some transition from the employment to industrial. And I'll get to the uses along the Stone Road in a second. So not significant land use changes, but just really like ratcheting up the intensity to deal with the housing issue primarily. In terms of what we heard, there was certainly a concern about, you know, existing nationally affordable, like the kind of older business spaces, cheaper rent. Obviously, that's a concern, just like with nationally affordable housing units. There are, one second. Also concern about an oversaturation of certain types of employment. I mean, there were certain comments about, you know, cleaning, warehouse, and food service industries. So I think kind of a diversification of you know, types of businesses. Certainly, Milwaukee Street came up a lot in terms of wanting a more walkable, you know, several people commented about the empty storefronts and concerns, but making it more walkable and safe and inviting. So once people are there, whether it's to go to Woodman's, then they may walk, you know, nearby, because there are a number of other businesses there. So looking at the kind of built environment. Also, there was a request, kind of a specific request, looking at the Atlas Avenue, Robertson Road, in between Cottage Grove and Milwaukee Street, to kind of do like a kind of specific economic feasibility study about, you know, if there could be more commercial or office space there. That would be, an interesting study. And then there was a specific comment in this last round about a community kind of hub focused more like west of Stoughton Road, that could, you know, support job access and that kind of information, kind of small business hub. So moving on, so Stoughton Road, the DOT is undertaking a study. This is part of a larger corridor from the northern end of Madison all the way to the Beltline, and then it will continue south. But there's a certain phase that, unfortunately, the horizon of that planning effort is longer than this planning effort, and so we don't anticipate that the DOT will make their final determination, and, you know, as for which design they are proposing. But as I understand it, it's down to these two, where on the left you have basically it would be a 45 mile an hour with it would keep the frontage roads, but the major change would be a grade separation where Buckeye and Flom, not like a full clover leaf, but it would clean up what I think no one likes, and obviously they're very dangerous, but redesigning the major intersections, but keeping everything else kind of as is. That's kind of in a nutshell, versus what we're calling alternate B. I think it is alternate B. It would lower the speed limit to 35 miles an hour, remove the frontage roads, and have a kind of a large boulevard. If you see on the right hand side, there's like a model that we built to kind of help show what it could look like, but kind of two lanes in each direction. The businesses would front directly onto the road. The possibility that would present is you know, the possibility of additional crossings across Stoughton Road, so be it Tompkins or West Alice, Alice, and there are other crossings that are that become possible, but it could allow for a more dense grid, and I think there's been talk about a BRT down the road of going, you know, along Stoughton, that would be potentially more feasible if there were more street connections. So, and it would make for a more walkable, you know, environment. One thing that was brought up, I would just mention at the Plan Commission 2 days ago on Monday evening, there's feedback about why. Oh, and I should add, with the alternative B, we would recommend changing to a more of a mixed use land use than a commercial land use that is shown in red. So purple is the mixed use, and the red being the commercial. It was thought that, you know, we would recommend for now the transition, if it was to change to the lower mile an hour design, as you say, having that be closer for now to the area with more of the amenities for the community, so closer to the residential. Obviously, on the east side, it's adjacent to industrial. So we thought that, I mean, it's going to be 10, 15 years until anything gets built. But our thinking is that for now, it would be best to prioritize the kind of the shift to more of a mixed use land use on the west side for now. So. We put together these maps showing the employment density focused. I mean, as you can see on the image to the left, mainly at Flom and agriculture. I think that the dark blue area is the the state employment offices. On the right side, I put this map together. The green is light industrial manufacturing businesses. The blue are retail. Yellow is education, so that's primarily schools. And the orange is healthcare or public administration, so that those state admin offices being like the largest employer in the area. So you can see with the industrial manufacturing, it's spread pretty much across the planning area. Let's move on quick. So in conversations with economic development staff, we have developed a few draft actions that I just want to run through quick. So like what Ben mentioned earlier, we were thinking that somewhere in the area outlined in the blue dashed line circled by the red oval, that an additional business improvement district or a TIF district could be added. There's a lot of vacant land, and it was thought that as that develops, there's the potential to, I think it would offer the various business support programs, such as the small cap TIF business loan program. It would make those available, but only to the businesses either within the district or within 1/2 mile of that area. So just to be clear, the TIF district wouldn't be in, it wouldn't be the entire area, but somewhere in that district. Another action would be to examine how the available city-owned land in the southeast Madison Business District, which is highlighted on the screen, how that could support increased employment and possibly industrial uses in the area. It would involve identifying properties that could accommodate additional development, analyze area zoning and restrictive covenants to see if there is interest in opening the area up to industrial limited IL uses, and potentially replatting or other partial changes to make city-owned parcels within the existing business park a better fit for development. Also, as part of the city's facilities plan, which is currently under development, the plan would recommend the review of city-owned fire department properties along Femrite Drive, Dairy Drive, and Agricultural Drive, mainly right near the intersection at the lower left, the lower left corner of the picture on the screen. And, you know, it would be important to determine if they're still needed for fire operations or if they could be repositioned for new development. Third, to evaluate existing restrictive property covenants in industrial areas to determine if they are still needed or if the covenants hamper potential employment growth and redevelopment of the area. Last, exploring opportunities for the city to land bank. I know this was brought up by Ben in the other plan, but here it would include adding employment uses to the city's existing land banking policy to help reposition underutilized older industrial properties into modern light and heavy industrial spaces through city assistance. Evaluate the prospects for the city to land bank underutilized and vacant properties in the South Stoughton Road corridor if business vacancies continue or increase, possibly in conjunction with the creation of a TIF district. And finally, evaluate the existing restrictive property covenants, again, in the industrial areas to determine if they're needed or if they're hampering potential redevelopment and growth. Lastly, again, going back to Milwaukee Street, looking at opportunities to address the number of empty storefronts, could be through a TIF program that has to be added because it's further away than a half mile. And I know there's one along Cottage Grove Road, but also looking at potential facade grants and other mixed use development. Almost done. So we are at the same point as the other plan, but kind of entering or kind of finishing phase three, looking at getting feedback and incorporating it, and then we would come back later in 2026 for, you know, to get the plan adopted. So similar questions to Ben. I would love to hear if you have any questions, but if there's anything that we missed or things that you think we should focus on. So,
Susan?
Yes, hi. Thank you, Chris. I actually own the, I'm part owner of the Culver's restaurant at 4401 Cottage Grove Road. And just to share, we opened up the restaurant in 2001. And what we learned, having been there now for almost 24 years, is that this is a very stable community. Individuals who live here stay here and they work here. A lot of blue collar type opportunities and that are well paying. And I just wanna say one of our biggest issues is busing. You know, it tends to be the theme of the both of these is how can we get people to where they need to be? We have two grocery stores that are nearby. We have schools that are nearby. We have a library that's very close. It's just a matter of getting people to where they want to go. And I would say number one issue is the busing issue. It's not specifically so much opportunity for work because there are lots of work opportunities there and they're well-paying jobs. It's just trying to get people to those jobs. So I'll be quiet now and I'm going to just say, please, let's look at the busing in the city of Madison. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Kaba?
Yes. Chris, thank you for the presentation. From my perspective, I think there's opportunity in this area for the city. It has a lot of open space, but I think part of it would also include zoning. One of the ideas you talked about with housing, I think anything beyond 4 or 5 would probably be pushing it. Most of the housing there are 1 or 2 for the most part. So I think put missing middle in between that not just stuff from 2 to 4 or 5 would be doable. Beyond that, it might really stand out. You talked about creating opportunities with stuff like small cap TIF loan. One of the challenges you have here is most of the land are big parcels with big organized industries or big warehouses. Trying to help a small business getting started to get established in this area is challenging because of a barrier of entrance of cost. So, for example, if somebody wants to start a small business and want to establish something here, it'll probably cost you more than $1 million just to get a decent parcel of land that you can start working with. So the barrier of entrance is a little prohibitive. If that's a genuine interest from the city, that needs to be looked at a little bit more. It might require some zoning changes in order to be able to cookie cut some of those parcels, in order to be able to bring it to a price that it makes sense for somebody starting a business to be able to acquire to get started. There's a lot of parcels around that area, but I think a lot of it would include engaging zoning. There needs to be a little bit more flexibility in the zoning in order to really utilize that space. But yeah, I think it's one of the corridors that has a lot of potential, very close to amenities. Like Susan said, there's a lot of good jobs in the area, but there's a lot of potential there too. Most of our corridors are getting to a bottleneck, similar to what we just saw with the Verona Road. That corner is very difficult to do further than what you already have. If you increase density there, you're gonna have challenges to match with that density. Without how it is already is a bottleneck. This one happens to have a little bit of opportunity here. I think if it is done wise, there's an opportunity in it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Alder Pritchard.
Yes, a particular concern for me is lighting. I've been in many, many areas, especially on this side of town, on that side of town, and it seems as though there are times when you run into pockets of just darkness. And so I'm just wondering whether or not lighting is going to be addressed. And if so, what type of lighting? I'm reminded of lighting that was on the Southwest bike path. And anything that's going to improve upon lighting, especially when you think about those areas that have the potential for being like crime-ridden areas. So if you increase the lighting, I think you begin to minimize the incidents or the opportunities for those who would normally engage in some kind of bad behavior. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't see. Oh, Seth.
Yeah, are there, I mean, as you're talking about, expanding some of the industrial, is there any targeted industries that we're thinking about targeting for those industrial development regions?
I don't know. I don't think it's gotten to that level of specificity yet, but I don't know if Matt Majeski has any thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, to Chris's point, we haven't really sat down as a city and said, we want this particular industry cluster. I mean, I think it's just at a more generalized level, one of the interesting things that we identified through the business walk is just the number of especially smaller and medium-sized businesses that are there that are sort of, off the kind of the radar screen. And there's really a huge diversity of the type of industrial and light industrial businesses that are in that neighborhood. So I don't know that we would necessarily peg ourselves on a single sector of industrial development, but I think it's just the desire is what can we do to ensure that there continues to be space in that district for those businesses to continue to exist and grow over time.
I don't see any other questions. Oh, Alder Pritchett.
Yes, I was at attended the Plan Commission meeting earlier this week, and one of the questions that I raised, and I think it's important that we begin to look at now that we have, plans in place for the South West Area Plan, and now we're looking at this one, but now just focusing primarily on economic development. Were there or are there lessons learned from looking at the Southwest Area Plan? And looking at where we are here with this plan as it focuses on economic development. What were some of the quirks? What were some of the unintended consequences? You know, what are some of the things that would be considered best practices? Those kinds of things. I think we have to take some time to reflect back and look at what did we learn as a result of going through the process there that we can use and or apply to the process here, especially from an economic development perspective.
I feel like Matt might be a better one to take that. I'm not.
Yeah, so I mean the Southwest area plan is currently in the process of being developed, so we don't necessarily have specific lessons that we can learn from it to apply to what we're doing with this plan. But certainly, I mean, I think it's a good point that what is either working or not working for projects on the Southwest side can certainly help to inform the implementation of this plan on the Southeast side.
Alder, does that answer your question?
Actually, once again, you know, when I think about coming up, you know, with the plan and beginning to look at, you know, there are things that I think parallel the current what we're looking at now with the Southwest Area Plan, and a concern that I have is sometimes we duplicate effort. And I'm asking because if you're going through the process now and you're experiencing some growing pains, what were they? And what can we do to avoid that? I realize that there are distinct differences between here, this geographic area and the Southwest area. I know that. But at the same time, there are things that are common. You know, that you experience. And I want to know, you know, have we begun to look at those kinds of things with the hope of avoiding mistakes or avoiding things that would have to go back and say, oh, we didn't think about this. So perhaps asking, finding out what were some of the hiccups? You know, what were some of the barriers? And what can we do to avoid that? Are there questions that we didn't
You're welcome to
ask?
answer.
It's that kind of a thing that I'm looking for.
Matt, can you respond to that?
Yeah, so I mean, we've done several area plans throughout the city. I don't know, Chris, off the top of my head, how many we've done so far, but there's been several.
This is the fourth,
So this is the
34th.
fourth. So I mean, I will say that we definitely have taken ideas on what worked well and what didn't work well with some of those other area plans that we've completed in previous years. And certainly we've adjusted some of our thinking and some of our recommendations and our approaches. So certainly we have utilized information that we've gathered from those previous efforts and are applying those in this case. So I guess the short answer is yes. We borrow ideas both and also sort of identify pitfalls that happened in previous area plans.
You know, that's good to know, because too often, you know, I see people going and repeating the same mistakes that someone else made without necessarily questioning others who have gone through something. Did this really work? Because if we don't do that, then we've lost some golden opportunities, you know, to get things right the first time instead of having to go back and do it again. So thank you for that.
Okay, well, I don't see any other questions. So, Chris, thank you very much for your presentation. We appreciate your time and your expertise. And We're going to move on at this point to item four, the economic development plan update. And Matt, will you take us through that?
Yes, happy to. So just wanted to provide a quick update this evening on the status of the economic development plan. We had last week, Thursday, a public workshop to present the initial ideas that have been generated to date, working with our consultant team. And it was good to see several EDC members there. So thank you for attending if you were able to make it. What we're doing now is there's going to be a companion written document that we are working on finalizing with our consultant team that outlines all those ideas that have been generated up to this point. And I think we're have over 70 ideas so far. And so our consultant team is going to work with us to kind of summarize that information and summarize all that engagement that we have throughout 2025. What we're going to do then in 2026 is we're going to pivot to basically asking ourselves, okay, which of those ideas are ones that we really want to focus on as a city? We don't have the capacity to do 70 new initiatives at once. So we're really going to have to ask ourselves, where can we have the greatest impact, and what do we have the staff and financial capacity to complete? And so we're kind of at that sort of pivot point where we're going to move from generating ideas into identifying really what our priorities are and what we should be working on over the next 5 years. And so look for more briefings and more conversations about that in 2026. And I'm happy to answer any initial questions that anyone has.
So, Matt, when you talk about looking at those 70, is that something that you're going to be seeking input from this committee on the priorities?
Yes. Yep. We're going to be working certainly with this committee. We're going to be working with an interdisciplinary staff team that includes colleagues elsewhere in city government that work on some of these areas. And obviously working with the mayor's office as well. And so yes, it'll be a collaborative effort to identify which of those ideas will make it into the final economic development plan.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. I don't see any hands up, so we'll continue to move the meeting along. Ruth, you're up.
Hi, friends. I'm gonna share my screen with us, and let's see if I can do it classy and not show you my annual evaluation. All right, let's see. Sorry, give me 1 second. Got it open. Okay. Let's see. Can you see that now?
No.
No. Okay. Give me. There we go. All right.
Well, we got the spinning wheel of death.
Oh,
There,
no.
no, there we go. We got it.
There we go. Okay. Woo! We did it. This in November, we had 2 building improvement grants, House of Healing and Reef Threads. 3 Kiva loans were closed, and that's was Puni, which is an African restaurant at the hub. Tucker Trustworthy Transportation, which is a trucking company, and Queen Bee, which is a soul food catering restaurant or catering establishment. And then I added something to this. It's something that we are continuing to track. There aren't any new funds going to this program, and it's but they are still reporting to me, and I thought you guys might be interested. So they report to me on a quarterly basis. But as some of you might remember, we had a worker cooperative program, and that program is still functioning. So we sort of, the city provided some sort of seed funding to help fund, help fund the creation of like a worker cooperative group that would help support worker cooperatives as they start and businesses as they transfer to become worker cooperatives. And then we also established a loan fund with an organization called Shared Capital Cooperative that does worker cooperative lending. And it's a revolving loan fund. This money will just continue to revolve. And they do still report on a quarterly basis to the city on loans that are happening through that fund. And so there was one in September. So I thought I would include that. And it's was for Common Good Bookkeeping Cooperative in Madison. And so I just added that. It's not a new program. It's not a program that is receiving any funding from us currently, but it is a fund that was established by the city of Madison. So, are there questions?
Ruth, I don't see any.
All
Oh,
right.
Susan.
Oh.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Hi there. Very quick question. We had talked before about the business assistance team, and have any of these funded projects utilized the business assistance team in that way?
In that regard, I'm trying to think about that. I don't think so in the way that we think. Now, I will say there are the business assistance team has been, actually, the answer is yes. The business assistance team has been working in a way where each department that is involved, which is pretty much almost all the departments in the city, have one designated business assistance team person, representative. And then as any of the departments have any questions in working with the business, if that business is having a problem in one of those with one of those agencies or has a question that, you know, we think that an agency can help with, we go directly to our business assistance team person. And then that person typically can just answer the question directly or they point us in the right direction. So we found that in the beginning, when we were working with businesses, that unlike the development assistance team, a lot of these small businesses didn't have time to like meet on a set schedule, like 10 a.m. on every Wednesday, that they wanted more, like, we need these answered now, kind of those types of questions. And so the way we're using the business assistance team right now is that internally, all the agencies meet quarterly and kind of talk about what we're seeing and what we're knowing. And then just on a regular basis, if anybody has any specific need, we have a specific point person to talk to in each agency. Does that make sense? So we're not just sending anybody to the void. We're sending it directly to folks. And most of these businesses have had questions. A lot of these businesses have had questions, like especially about permitting, liquor licenses. We have a representative from the from public health that works with us directly, and so, you know, food safety, those types of things.
Perfect. Exactly what when we talked about this earlier about setting up this team. That's exactly what we had talked about. So thank you, Ruth. It sounds like
Oh,
functioning very well. Thank you.
it is. It is. And the other departments have been really excited about it too, because it's helping them a lot as well, which is great. So thank you, Susan.
Okay. Thank you, Ruth. Appreciate
Thank
the effort
you.
you put into that. And we're going to announcements. And Matt, I believe you have one that you'd like to discuss.
Yes, thank you, Chair. The Chair asked me to just provide an update on the merger of the Economic Development Committee with the Vending Oversight Committee into the new Business and Economic Resources Committee. Where we're at in that process is the City Attorney's Office has been finalizing the ordinance for the new committee, and it looks like most likely that ordinance is going to be introduced at the January 6th Common Council meeting and then referred out to several committees, including EDC. So it's possible that you will see that ordinance formally referred to you at your January 21st EDC meeting. It'll likely be before Common Council for approval at the February 24th meeting. So that's the earliest that this new ordinance will be adopted is February 24th. Once the ordinance is adopted, creating the new committee, the mayor then needs to make appointments to that new committee, and those appointments need to be approved by council. So that appointment process might last into March, possibly into early April. So the brand new committee is probably not going to meet until April or May of next year. So what that means for all of you in the interim is that the EDC is likely going to meet in January, February, March, and possibly April as normal. And so, as always, thank you for your service and thank you for spending your third Wednesdays with us. This committee is still going to be around for at least through the first quarter of next year. The mayor then is going to make a determination, of course, on who to appoint to the new committee. It's likely going to include membership of the existing EDC and the VOC with maybe a couple of new individuals. And this committee won't be dissolved until that new committee meets. So obviously, as we get closer to that point in time, I'll continue to update you as to what the status is. But what we envision is the new BERC committee will have its first meeting again, probably in April or May, and then that's the point in time when the EDC and the VOC will be dissolved as committees. So please mark your calendars at least through April, I would say, for EDC meetings on the third Wednesday of the month, and I will keep you up to date as the new ordinance moves forward.
And Matt, who should folks talk to if they would like to stay on the committee or would like to come off the committee? Would they talk to you or?
Yes, I mean if you already have a preference, like I don't want to be on this new committee, or I really want to be on this new committee, yeah, please don't hesitate to let me know, and I can start forwarding that information to the mayor's office.
Okay, great. Thank you. And thank everybody. This has been a great year. I think the committee has done a lot of good things. And I thank Matt and all of the folks that, work on economic development on the city's behalf. And look forward to a really exciting year next year and the changes that we'll see, towards the second half of the year. So, again, thanks to everybody. And have a very happy holiday. And I think I need a motion to adjourn, or if anybody else on the committee would like to say something before we sign off, then feel free to raise your hand and I'll call on you. Alder Madison.
Thank you, Wayne. So don't know whether we won't know if, which alders are going to end up on the new committee, but I do want to just say it's been great to work with everybody all of the years I've served on this committee. So however it looks going forward after March or April, I've enjoyed working with you all. So thanks for your service. And thanks for all the jokes, the laughter, and me talking about Culver's over the years without, any argument.
All right. That said, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, it's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. I take it there's no discussion. All in favor, please raise your hand or say aye. Aye. Again, thanks everybody. Have a great holiday.
Thanks,
You
everyone.
too. Happy holidays.